him glory. Give him praise.
For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and have hewn out for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold anyone. We turn unto our stronghold, O God, for we are set like prisoners of hope. Delivered from the pit wherein there is no water. We give you glory and praise. Thank you, Father.
Great one, as a congregation representative of the body of Christ in this territory, we set our face towards Zion. By reason of the blood of the covenant, we ask, O God, that you set out the prisoners that have been kept in the pit wherein there is no water. We turn unto our stronghold today. We turn to the fountain of life. We turn to the living fountain and the living well. That our willingness and leanness might receive your healing and life. For long we have wandered the wilderness, staggering with leanness of heart and soul. And we seek desperately the very spirit of reality, that he might enliven us by his life. We thank you this morning. For every other reality is darkness. For you are the true light that lightens every man that cometh into the world. Enlighten us. Light our candle. And enlighten our darkness. This we ask today. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated if you can. And if you cannot break the flow of worship coming out of your spirit, you are not under any obligation to. Amen. I'd like you to turn your Bible with me quickly. It's a time. There is a sound. Before there's a manifestation, there's always a reality. Elijah said, I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. He was able to first articulate the reality before the manifestation found expression. Now, come with me quickly to the book of John chapter 6. John chapter 6, particularly with emphasis on verse 63. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Hallelujah. It is the spirit that quickeneth. There's a difference between a message and a passage. The flesh profits nothing. The message is the reality that you received. The passage is the instrument that you collect to add muscle to the substance that you receive. The message comes from God. But the passage, you can align it in order that the message will be easily communicated. The people that you are communicating to can connect with the reality of that which you have received. And just in case you have a passage, don't trouble people trying to tell them something, because you don't have a message. Hallelujah. The message, for instance, in the place of prayer, I was praying one time, preparing for a meeting. And God spoke to me that we mount up with wings. That's the message. So all I came to do was to tell them, God says, you will what? Mount up with wings. But you see, if I just come out and I stand before them and say, this is the message of the Lord, it may not make meaning to them. They may not understand the gravity of that statement. So I need to use some scriptures to open up that statement, so that the scope, the depth, the essence, the weight of that message through the passage can be released. Do you get it now? Hallelujah. But you see, the message is the reality. Your skills in gathering passages to help communicate the message is dependent on you. Hallelujah. Three ministers can receive a message. You will mount up with wings. What you will come up with, the message or the passages you might choose to use to express that message, might be different from him and might be different from me. Alright? Not might, will be. But the message is one. That's how the prophets of old operated. There's a gift of the Spirit that is called the interpretation of tongues. Interpretation is not translation. If somebody is preaching and somebody else picks up another microphone and begins to speak Idoma, convert what I'm saying to Idoma, that's not interpretation. That's translation. Alright? Because interpretation is actually keying into the reality of spiritual substance, designing it and expressing it. If I, for instance, in this service, God moves and you speak in tongues, you interpret it. The anointing can still come upon me to interpret the same tongues. The anointing can still come upon him to interpret the same tongues. We'll not say the same thing, but if you analyze all what we say, it means the same thing, because it's the same message. Or you don't get it. Now, I'm trying to separate reality from manifestations. When reality expresses, it can express in different ways, but it is still one reality. So, in the gift of interpretation of tongues, God releases the grace for you to be able to enter into the reality of that which was transmitted from the spirit realm. And it gives you discernment to know what the spirit is emphasizing. He also gives you wisdom to be able to communicate such. And interpretation, remember, is not what? Translation. Translation is natural, but interpretation is what? Is spiritual. And you also need to understand that we preach in part, we prophesy in part. Now, so, a reality broke out in the hall, broke out upon people's spirit. And then, pastor interprets the aspect of that reality that encountered his own spirit. Pastor also interpreted the aspect of that reality that encountered his spirit. Our mommy at the back, they interpreted the aspect of the reality that encountered her spirit. In some other times, when we analyze all the interpretations, we might discover that the first interpretation, the second interpretation was a continuation from the first one. And the third interpretation was a continuation from the second one. Sometimes it's like that. Why? When Paul, in his time, judged those manifestations, he now revealed that we actually preach in part and prophesy in part. Now, the subject I'm raising is actually a testimony about an eternal spirit. And I'm too small to be able to speak everything about that spirit.
The best I can do here today is a part. It is in no wise conclusive. And the Holy Ghost can come upon you, and then maybe subsequently, you now have added insight. It means you receive another part. Now the thing is this about the body of Christ. You might be operating at optimal level in the spirit, and there's a problem in your life, and God decides that He will not reveal it to you. Decides that He will reveal it to Levi. Why? Because it is a body He's working with, not an individual. As far as He's concerned, if He has revealed it to Levi, and you are not humble enough to receive it from Him, I'm just trying to tell you how God works when He dispatches reality. Can you help me tell your neighbor, you are good, but you are not complete? Have you read the Bible? The scripture that says, iron sharpeneth iron, so shall a man sharpen the countenance of his friends. It's talking about a man now.
Okay.
It's talking about a man that, see, it's an iron. That means that one was iron sharpened iron. One iron sharpened another iron. The one that is doing the sharpening must have attained a form of standard. Now what that means is when a man finds the purpose of God for his life, he encounters his reality in God and he begins to function in it. As he functions in it, and he encounters people. Alright? Because of the fact that that man found reality and is functioning in it, many other people will find reality. So that man becomes a catalyst in the body of Christ that actually facilitates a sharpening. Now, I do most of teaching most of the time. Now, as you begin to listen to me, and it happens to be that in the way, there's a way sharpening is done. You know, when you do sharpening in the natural, and you take what I call that thing that they used to sharpen, file. When you are sharpening the machete with the file cuts some of the metals out. But this kind of sharpening that the Bible spoke about, that the man will sharpen the countenance of his friend, it doesn't cut anything out. But a part of that man goes into the other person. And that other person, in a little measure, begins to operate like that man. So shall what? A man. You will notice the deposit of that man at work in somebody's life. Then you know, it's as if you met Elijah. It's as if you were here. It's as if you were with Jesus. Part of that man is deposited. When that man is used as an instrument of God to stir you into reality. So if one person accurately begins to dispatch his call, many other people will begin to fulfill their call. Because the influence and the impact of reality is contagious. It's contagious. It's contagious. You can be the one that will set the pace in your family by bringing a strange reality. And then every other reality that was operating there, maybe demonic reality, has been manifested. And the pattern that you see, actually it can be traced to a spirit that is negative. Hallelujah. It means you yourself will have to touch a different reality to bring about a change. If there is a history of death, strange deaths in your family, that history is a manifestation of the presence of a reality. So all you need to do is to bring a different reality. And you need to understand that when it comes to family issues, there is a balance. There is a balance. What I call a balance. I don't know any other way to put it. A balance. the price that the people paid in order to bring that pattern. Alright? You may need to pay an equivalent price to bring a different pattern. And that's why some of you are praying and your circumstances have not changed. And you are beginning to believe that your prayers are not working. Meanwhile, what God is actually calculating is that He wants to use your life as a means of delivering not just you, but your entire family. But nobody wants to pay any price for anybody. We just want to, God, touch my head, and if you decide not to touch again, I will not be bothered. If after you touch me, you decide that you won't touch anybody again, it will be good for me. That's not the way God thinks. Because God wants the nations to come to Him. And if you are found in that nation of darkness, of witchcraft, of wizardry, and God has secured somebody there, so the redemption of those people has begun because an iron has begun to rise. And God wants to use that life to turn the tide in that sphere. And the faster and the extent to which God will succeed with you on that project is the degree to which He brings you into reality. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know how to do it. So many doors are opening. So many scriptures are opening. And so many things are opening. But let me bring it home. Because in this part of the world, almost every family here has something of witchcraft that is going on there that is creating a pattern. One thing about witchcraft is that they are consistent. If they fail today, they'll still try tomorrow. And if you see that the symptoms of the particular predicament that is at work is witchcraft inclined, then you must gird your loins. You will have to be consistent. Actually, many believers actually press into God to a level, and when they break through and there's a calm, the reason why there's a calm is because the power of that reality has been quenched. But you see, those guys don't give up like that. They go back to use another dimension of witchcraft. If the first dimension does not work, they fold that one up and they bring another dimension of witchcraft. Every craft that is done in darkness and every weapon that is formed in darkness has a limitation. Just like an alligator can be very dangerous, but it cannot fly. Am I making sense? It's good on the ground. If he uses his teeth to catch you, my God. If he takes his tail and he can bring you down if you are within the range, the radius. Hallelujah. But he can't fly. So if you can leap, if you can fly, and the alligator is on the ground charging, he's powerless with you. That's how some dimensions of witch, they have their limitations. And so when a witch uses a type, and he finds out that you can fly, he leaves that one, goes to another one that has the advantage of flight. So let's do it in the air now because we are so good on ground. You now discover that the kind of attacks that you begin to receive in that season are different from the types you have been receiving before. It's because the witchcraft changed. And so when a believer gets to win a particular victory, most times we settle, but witches don't settle. They go to do research. They go to explore, to find out more ways to still exert their dominion. Because there is a lust for control in the witchcraft cult. That's what they do. They want to control. And so when they try you on the ground, they see you can fly. They go back for research. Do you actually go back for research? When there's a rebound of situations, when some situations rebound, something you thought you had victory in before, suddenly you see it find expression. You did the things you did before, but it did not shift this time. Do you go back to research? Now let me take, we are on a journey. let's continue our journey. Jesus is saying that, you see, the things I'm saying, the words I'm uttering, alright, it's not English language. It's spirit. See, I receive reality before I began to speak. And my speaking was the excuse the reality had to pressure. Do you get it? When somebody comes and looks at a cripple and says, be healed, it's not the English be healed that entered the leg. It's the reality. Do you get it? So Jesus is trying to teach us of how the spirit realm operates, how it works. He says the things I utter, they are spirit. That means I'm emitting spirits in my utterances. But they are not just spirits. They are spirits. And what? They are life. They can create the things he talked about. Can create it. Alright. Spirit and life. Spirit and life. Alright? It always goes together. Spirit and life. You are praying, God, Lord, I need. Empower me to pass my exams. Alright? You kept on praying. Kept on praying. Lord, I don't want to fail anymore. Intervene. My grades are not good. Alright? Suddenly, in your prayer, you know there are some indicators. I didn't expect that we'll be here now. Some indicators are furnished. Because you see, that your prayer is going into the realm of the spirit. And a testimony must come from the realm of the spirit that will reveal the situation that has taken place in the realm of the spirit on the account of your spiritual input. That personality called the spirit of truth is the personality that comes with the perspective, the testimony of the throne concerning a particular spiritual adventure. And it furnishes that testimony such that you can be praying now and suddenly you feel peace inside. And if there was an anxiety that was attached to your request, suddenly that peace is so strong that it quenches the fire of that anxiety. A spiritual thing has happened. A reality has been furnished. At that point in time, you know that something has happened in the light of your request. So the Spirit of God goes to work, and what it does is that it furnishes in you the conviction of the fact that your spiritual transaction was accepted and God has taken responsibility to lead you through the areas of your deficiency that was the basis of your request. First of all, the Spirit. He comes upon your heart to furnish conviction. That conviction that he furnishes is what drives away the anxiety that you have. Secondly, every deposit, strand, and quanta of that reality that was ejected into you is actually the resources required for you to walk in that level of victory. So it is spirit because it brings a conviction and a testimony about the situation of the thing in the spirit realm. It is life because it also administers grace sufficient for you to live in that realm of victory. The same reality that works it out, and the same reality that gives you the conviction that I am victorious now. Practical example. Somebody praying that he wants to pass his exams, and as he begins to pray, God now releases peace. Then he now notices that before he went to the first exam, he said, Lord, I commit the exam into your hands. Then the reality begins to work. You see, life, it becomes something of experience. Okay? Then he does that in the first exam, is good. Does that in the second exam, is good.
does it in the third exam, he's good. He says, all right, got it. So in the fourth exam, he didn't pray again and say, Lord, take over. So that one was difficult. Because that reality, had no outlet. So I will show you several people and several conditions that will blot out the flow or the river of the Spirit. The potential is there. The reality is present. But in order for it to be expressed, there are several things you must avoid. Okay? If you are still here, say amen.
Amen.
Now, so let me give you some indicators that will reveal that the Spirit of truth is at work, so that don't miss the Spirit of truth. Hallelujah. Well, we have a long way to go. Okay, John chapter 14. Let's start this journey. John chapter 14, verse 17. These are the words of Jesus. Okay, we'll begin from verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that ye may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it knoweth him not, neither knoweth him. He seeth him not, neither knoweth him. He seeth him not, neither what? Knoweth him. The Bible says that the world cannot receive the Spirit of truth because the world cannot see him and the world cannot know him. You see, if you are going to make progress with the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of truth guides us into all truth. It guides us into all reality. He makes us participate and to be able to take advantage of the resources that are being produced in the spirit realm as a support system for your day-to-day life. By the operation of the Spirit of truth, the power and the of God can be figured in your day-to-day experience. But you see, the world has a limitation. And the limitation the world has that makes it disconnected from the ministry of the Spirit of truth is that the world cannot see him and the world cannot know him. It means that if you are actually going to do business with the Spirit of truth, you must not be deficient in those two areas. You must be able to see him and you must know him. See there is not visual aid. Not visual. See, there's not visually. Okay, let me give you an example of what I mean, see. Or what the scriptures mean by see. Are you still with me now? Okay. I prayed some time ago and I said, Lord, I want more of you. Is that a bad prayer point? More of you. Oh my God. And I prayed like that for months with fasting. You know the first thing that happened? I was expecting that, okay, maybe more of God, angelic visitations, deep revelations, and all of that. That God would just be showing up everywhere. But the only thing that changed, nothing changed. But the only thing that changed was that the environment became hostile. Now, you want to connect a prayer of more of you with a hostile environment. Doesn't sound reasonable. Now, I was staying with a particular family, my relatives, in that city. And they had a child that was 1 year or 2 years old. A child that was still learning how to talk. And then the child will now come into my room and say,
Is this your house? Go to your house now. Why are you here now?
Then you will know that somebody more intelligent was feeding the child with the word.
Oh.
All right? And I went to preach one time in Zaria. I came back to that city. And when I came back, the meeting I went for was a mighty meeting, wonderful meeting. And I went to the office. The devil was waiting for me there. Scared of all kinds of stuff on Monday morning. Then I came back again. I was so hot. And I was trying to pray, but I didn't have the capacity. Because the hot had disconnected me from the line. A man that is discouraged cannot hear God. You must understand that. If you are discouraged, discouragement is like an insulation. Now brings about a temporary disconnection from God. Except that discouragement is taken away. You are cut off. Now when I was in that mood, suddenly, because the door to my room had no lock. If you push it hard enough, it will slip open. And when it slips open, it has a noise. And I was trying to focus on the Lord. And then I heard, is this your house? Go to your house now. Now, if you are not someone that takes time to evaluate, you use a knife and kill that child. But you may not understand that it was your prayer that made God to allow turbulence in the environment. See there, talks about being able to connect your circumstances with your requests, with your dealings with God. A carnal man will not connect those circumstances to his dealings with God. Because it doesn't follow. How on earth can you contain or connect that situation of hostility? And that was just one of the strands of the situation. There were also many funny aspects of that situation. Because the person that was feeding the child with those words was also passing some side comments here and there just to make the place uncomfortable for me. Meanwhile, God had revealed to me that what he wanted me to do in that season was in that locality. And the accommodation I had in that locality was that place. That means there was nothing I could do about changing that accommodation. It was not in my hands, alright? Do you understand that now? I had to be there. And now that I had to be there, there was a circumstance that I could not change that was there. You need to be a spiritual man to see the connection. That is your spiritual activity that is giving rise to this situation here. I was asking for more of God. I was beginning to perforate the spiritual atmosphere that was covered by demonic forces and powers. And the demonic influences were touched. They were troubled. Then they came into my habitat and began to stir some stuff. Meanwhile, God knew that the things that they were stirring was going to bring me in the long run to that point where I have more of God. So the seed we are talking about there is to be able to connect circumstances and situations to your dealings with God. Because it is so possible for you to... Am I helping you? I know we have grown small. That's why I'm bringing this issue. As far as I'm concerned, the devil does not influence me. That's me. That's what I... The devil can operate in the circumstances. But I know that in order for the devil to operate, the Lord allowed him. Okay? There are circumstances also that I know that this trespass, God is expecting me to deal with the devil. Alright? I'm not saying that everything wrong is God that allowed. But I'm talking about a situation that you pray about, it doesn't change. You fast about it, it doesn't change. People agree with you, it doesn't change in that moment. There is something about government that is at work in that situation. There is something about the position of God about the situation that will not make it change just yet. You get it? Oh, you're not getting it. Something about the government of God that is attached to it. Then if you see a situation like that, you need to go back to God and find out the connection. When I began to grow in God, my grades in the university began to fall. I prayed on it, I fasted, it didn't change. I anointed it, it didn't change. Well, I said, Lord, I accept, no problem. Let's still go on. I must not understand everything. Years later, God told me that I knew, but He reminded me that my pride was connected to my academic excellence. And so, two of them cannot exist together. It's either He takes my pride away, or He takes the call away. Because my call could not survive in a habitat of pride. You get it? So since the call was more in His interest, so the grace had to go so that the pride would not have any anchor to hold. You see, so the government of God was at work in that situation. It didn't seem like a good situation to me, but you see, it was the Lord that allowed it to happen so. And if you are not a sensitive person, you will not see the hand of the Lord in the contrary situation. You get it? So in order for you to make progress and to receive the ministry of the Spirit of Truth in its full scope, you must be able to see him operating through circumstances that you may not choose, circumstances that you may not want. But you see, when you begin to move with God, irrespective of your circumstances, it means you have, by an act of your will, decided to connect with God and to partake in the fellowship of the sufferings that has to do with everyone that is an ambassador of Christ. That kind of resolve is what leads to higher ranking in the spirit. You do get that? That situation went on. The situation went on. It went on. And you see, there are some situations that come close enough that it comes as close as your nose. When you see a situation like that, that is so close to you, it's around you. First of all, I need you to understand that what God wants to achieve, first and foremost, many other things He may want to achieve, but first and foremost, He wants to do something on your character. When the thing is close like that, you can't run away from it. You sit back, it's two steps, the thing shifts three steps, and it's always under your nose. When you see it like that, you must understand that God wants to work on your character. That there's a dimension of His operation that you will not enter into if some character issues are not dealt with and some fruits of the Spirit do not begin to... Some dimensions of the fruit of the Spirit doesn't begin to manifest, you will not be ushered into that realm. And so as far as God is concerned, it is profitable for you to go through that situation. Because He's a custodian of the just scales of the Spirit and the balances. When He weighed the situation and weighed the outcome of the situation, He now judged that it was better for you to suffer in this present time in view of the glory that will be revealed in you. You see that calculation? But many times the mind of a normal, natural man does not synchronize with the way he operates. And so in order for you to prosper in the ministry of a spirit that is saddled with the responsibility of bringing us into reality, you must be able to see His hand. When you see His hand, a situation that was intended to break you down will be the same situation that will lift you up. Tell your neighbor, the law of equivalent advantage. And that law states that any situation that has the capacity to bring you down has an equal capacity to lift you up. And they sold this young man, Joseph, into slavery. Then, from slavery, he became a prime minister. And he could not be a prime minister in that land because there was no government in that land. In fact, that land had no sustenance, no agricultural sustenance. He would have died there. So they sold him into slavery. So the potential of being a prime minister was now in the land that he was sold into. You get it? He now saw the equivalent advantage that was tied to the situations that he was sold into. So much so that because he saw the spirit of truth, he could discern the spirit of truth. He could discern the purpose of the spirit of truth in that process. When his brothers came, being fully aware of what God did, he said, you guys meant it for evil. But what? God meant it for good, so that he can preserve a posterity. This process I went through was not about me, it was about our nation. Will you stand and pay the price for your nation? I'm talking about your clan, your own generation, the people that came from your own body. Will you stand and say, okay, all right, the cost ends here. So he had understanding, he was aware, he was enlightened, he could see what the spirit of truth was trying to furnish through the process and the injustice that he had to go through. Because he saw it, he was able to reap the advantage from the affliction and the contradiction. The law of what? Equivalent. One of our brethren came to me and began to talk about the troubles he's going through in his local assembly. I said, these things are normal. These things are common. This one is common. Okay? So you keep your cool, keep quiet, keep going, and enjoy the process. And after you go through that season, you begin to see that your ranking has changed. And your intimacy with the Spirit of God has gone to another level. It's not all about fasting and prayer. You will go through process. And a man that refuses to be persecuted will never grow. When you see persecution coming and you escape, just know that you're not seeing him. Because as you are going through the process, there's always an alternative. The alternative to react in the natural. React based on signs and symptoms in the situation. I've seen several people. I know that family problem is not good, but I've seen several people that it was through family problem that they were pressed into God. The situation had an advantage, an equivalent advantage. And I need you to understand that there's a level and a ranking that you get to as a husband or a wife in that situation, that the level of authority you carry will squash that spirit that is stirring that thing, and you will win your family. It might take 25 years, it might take 35 years, we don't know. But you see, the Bible says, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. That means good will ultimately overcome evil. The stories might be different. The testimonies might be different. The settings might be different. But good will always overcome it. But we need a man that will take sides with God, even if he doesn't understand what God is doing. So the Holy Spirit needs to be discerned. Yeah. So that you don't get to fight. He said, I've seen the truth. I've discerned the will of God. I've discerned the purpose of the Holy Spirit. You guys meant it for good. You meant it for carnality. God allowed it. Put me on the spot. But I saw an equivalent advantage in this situation. God did all these things because of generations to come. So you may not be able to understand the full scope of why you are going through what you are going through. But God's eyes are on nations and on generations. But we now created denominations. His eyes are on what? Nations and what? Generations. Not on denominations. You didn't preach that. Preach it well. God's eyes are on nations and generations. Study your Bible, you'll find it. Nations and generations. But our own eyes are what? The Lord give you understanding. First of all, you must be able to see, discern the finger of the Spirit. It's when you discern the finger of the Spirit that you now understand the way God works. It is through process that we know God, not through Bible study. The knowledge of God is experiential. It's not intellectual.
is when you have gone through the experience and God has revealed spiritual reality to you, that scriptures will now make more meaning. Scriptures will be flat before your face, devoid of substance and matter, until you become willing to suffer with Christ in situations and circumstances that you decide not to deny His name, and you go through the strain because of God. You go through the strain because of Jesus. Suddenly, your ranking increases and God gives you the privilege of knowing the operations of the Spirit of Truth. Then you realize the scope. Then you discern. Then you see. That's how spiritual growth comes. It doesn't come by speaking in tongues. Come with me. So you need to see Him. You need to what? Know Him. Alright. Move with me again. Can't speak some tools in this. Now, I think I need to explain. No, let me not explain for now. Go with me again to the book of... Are you still in John chapter 14? Now let's bounce on verse 26 before we proceed. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. So the Spirit of Truth furnishes reality, brings us into reality. The Spirit of Truth is reality. You get it? The Spirit of Truth is reality. That is 1 John that told us that. Because by the time John got to, many years later, when he wrote the epistle, 1 John, he had received more insight. And the impact of the more insight he has received was is seen in his epistles. It was there he said that the Spirit is truth. He didn't call him Spirit of Truth again. He called him Spirit that is truth. He is the reality. It was there that John, he settled that equation. The Spirit is truth. So he is the reality. Just in case you felt something when you were praying and you received an assurance that the prayer had been answered, is the Spirit that furnished that assurance, because He is the reality. He is truth. You get me now? Now, because we have come to understand now that we need to know how to synchronize with the operation of the Spirit that is reality. First of all, we must know how He furnishes His emphasis in our lives. Because the way He furnishes His emphasis in our lives is through spiritual means, not through carnal means. Hey, are you still with me here? He furnishes His emphasis how? Through spiritual means. He communicates through spiritual means. He speaks through spiritual means, not through carnal means. Now, let's see some of the ways He furnishes His emphasis. I wrote something in my jotter, in my script. So let me give you a little. Maybe not all. Small. How does He furnish His emphasis? Now, so get your writing power. The Spirit of Truth. First of all, He furnishes His emphasis by administering a knowing. A knowing. I'm talking about a spiritual mode of insight that is not tied to a research. You just know. And you may not be able to explain why you know, but you know. A know. Now let me define what a knowing is within the context of what I'm talking about. So you can take your notes now. A knowing is an inability to discern a thing for what it really is. A knowing is an inner ability to discern a thing for what it really is. This knowledge goes beyond the surface or the superficial outlook of things. This knowledge goes beyond the surface or the superficial outlook of things into their very nature. Goes beyond the surface or the superficial outlook of things into their very nature. Through this knowledge, you can access God's inner testimony about a thing, about people, about places, etc. Through this knowledge, you can access God's inner testimony about people, about things, etc. Hallelujah. Let's take a few examples in the scripture that illustrates this. Turn with me quickly. Let's check Luke chapter 6 quickly. Luke chapter 6 quickly. Now, I need to take my bearing from somewhere. You know, when Elijah was praying for rain to be restored. Alright? The Old Testament gives us a graphic perspective to spiritual things. Are you with me now? If you are still here, say amen. It happens to be that spiritual things operate in the privacy of your spirit and your heart. They are not on display. But the Old Testament helps us with a graphic illustration of any dimension and any level of spiritual things that we are about to discuss. If you know the connection by the Holy Spirit, you will see the step-by-step outlay of spiritual apparatus and spiritual reactions. And you can understand them very definitely. Now, when Elijah was praying, he sent his servant to go and check the sky. It was as though the impact of his prayers will find expression on the screen of the sky. And the guy went 6 times and didn't see anything. On the 7th time, he saw a cloud that was like a hand of a man. It was a small cloud, not a very big cloud. But you see, Elijah, on the strength of that cloud that was seen, told the king, "You guys go now, because I hear the sound of an abundance of rain." Sorry, what exactly did the guy see in the sky? What? A cloud. It was a small cloud. But you see, what was brewing in the spirit was an abundance. But the testimony of that mighty flood had a witness that was little. Now, when the spirit of truth comes to funny stuff inside of you, that's how it is. A little impression. It's actually a testimony to a mighty thing. You are not here. A little impression is a testimony to a mighty thing. So if we are to call a man strong in God, we are talking about a man that understands the communication of the spirit of truth in its faintest fashions and faintest forms. In its most unlikely forms. That is what makes a man strong in the spirit. Because the impute of the spirit of truth will never be strong. It will be so faint such that it will stand to be despised. Any carnal man would despise. So faint. Now, so take note of that. Luke chapter 6. I'm going somewhere.
In Luke chapter 6 from verse number 6, the Bible says, and it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught. And there was a man whose right hand was withered, and the scribes and the Pharisees watched him whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. And he knew their thoughts and said unto the man which had a withered hand, rise up and stand forth in the midst. And he rose and stood forth. Then said Jesus unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? Notice that Jesus' sermon changed. And the reason why his sermon changed was because he tapped into a knowing. Now, these guys did not say what they said vocally. But Jesus tapped into a knowing, and he was like addressing them even though they didn't say what they felt. That's what we call prophetic preaching. With this kind of preaching, you don't need word of knowledge. You don't need to say there's somebody here that has... No. This message, this kind of preaching is a preaching that somebody flows in the stream, the river of prophecy. Jesus knew their thoughts and began to address the treachery in their thoughts. Meanwhile, they did not vocalize it. It was on the strength of a knowing. And the knowing shall find application in your day-to-day life. That's God's impute into your daily life. But you see, the question is whether or not we'll take advantage of these provisions that God has made available. Meanwhile, the spirit of truth is reality. And he's trying to show us how life should be lived from the perspective of reality. In order for him to bring his support, he orchestrates a knowing. Jesus knew their thoughts. Then he went into a very dramatic session there. He called the man. He didn't heal him yet. Put him in the midst. And he addressed their thoughts. Is it good to kill on the Sabbath? I love Jesus. Is it good to save life on the Sabbath? Then when there was no response, he looked around. And then he commanded the man, stretch your hand. Because there was no. The people were amazed. They said, okay. In fact, there was a time that they accused him that there's a demon walking through. How did he know? He knew. It is very easy for you to lay aside spiritual knowings that God quickens into you. But meanwhile, that's God's impute into your daily life to ensure that you live perpetually in victory, to also ensure that you live within the context of his assignment for you per time. Knowing. And knowing. Somebody entered into a car that had an accident. The person came out. They had to stitch so many parts of the person's body. Then I now asked the person, when everybody had left, it was only me and the person. I said, when you entered that car, did you not feel anything? He said, I felt too. When we're reaching Lafayette, the thing was who? Now, this thing was doing woo, 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 and you didn't drop. The Lord give you understanding. You can avoid all of that by partnering with God to obey his knowings. Secondly, operation of the spirit of truth. You know this one. This one happens to all of you. So let's jump it. It's an inner voice. All of you know this one. Inner voice is inside. Not an audible voice. Inner voice. Amen?
An inner voice refers to a distinct... Sorry, I've not finished my knowing. Luke chapter 8, verse 6, verse 8. Finally, in the knowing, right? This knowledge is the basis of all true convictions. Right there. Knowings are actually the basis of all true convictions. All convictions that are true are connected to a knowing. Number two, an inner voice. An inner voice refers to a distinct reception of a perfectly coordinated speech in the language of your thoughts. Refers to a distinct reception of a perfectly coordinated speech in the language of your thought. In the language of your thought. Which is facilitated by God through His unction within you. It's facilitated by God through His unction within you. It is facilitated by God through His unction within you. And the unction there talks about the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. Whenever you hear unction, just know the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. We have received an unction from the Holy One, and we know all things, and we need not anyone teach us. But that same unction teaches us all things. So when we talk about the unction, we are talking about the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. Okay? If you are still here, say amen. It precipitates into the very core of your being, and it is normally too strong to ignore. It is normally too strong to ignore, even if it contradicts your human philosophy. It's normally too strong to ignore, even if it contradicts your human philosophy. Did you get it? It precipitates into the very core of your being, and it is normally too strong to ignore, even if it contradicts your human philosophy. Acts chapter 10, verse 9 to 13. Normally too strong to ignore. These ones are the simple ones. Knowings and inner voice, they are the simple ones. The rest we are going to treat, which is where I want to base this morning teaching. Those are the complex ones. And those complex ones are very important. If you are still here, say amen. Oh my God, I can't hear you. Say amen. So the simple ones. Acts of the Apostles chapter 10, verse 9 to 13. These are the simple ones. Acts 10, verse 9 to 14 to 13. On the morrow, as they went on their journey, they drew nigh unto the city. Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And there came a voice to him. That voice precipitated out of his spirit, it's an inner voice. Nobody else heard that voice. But you will notice that in that scripture, as you read further, you will find out that that voice contradicted his religion. Now, so He had a challenge on his hands now. Either that he will stick with his religion or do what? Flow with the voice. The thing about the inner voice is this. Many times, there is a possibility of contention with the inner voice. Because God is not subject to your religion and your tradition. Hallelujah. God does not participate in your religion. And then he can speak to you. And when he does, most times, it contradicts your perspective about life. And he doesn't come to convince you to take sides with him. If you feel like going on with your religion, you are okay. But he will register his impression strong enough for you to know exactly in well articulated order what he was trying to emphasize. In the midst of the scenario, he received a voice and said, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." Then Peter now spoke from his religion and said, "I'm a Jew, you know. I've never ate anything unclean before. That's not my way." So we see a contradiction here. But you see, it happens to be that because of the possibility of this kind of contradiction, the voice of God, when it is released, God makes it strong. Strong enough for you not to be able to deny that you heard him. Please, I want to give you some characteristics of the voice of the Spirit within your heart. One, the voice of the Spirit within the human heart is always sustained in the language of his most predominant, the language of his thought. The language of his thought. Some of you think in thief language. If you think in thief, God's voice to you will be in thief. Where's mama? Call mama. Mama ba. Let the interpreter follow him. Follow her. The voice of God comes to you in the language of your thought. It's first characteristic. The voice of God. Some characteristics we are going to mention just to help you in dealing with the Spirit of truth. So you ask mama, can she remember any time that God spoke to her? Now give mama a microphone, please. Wait. Now, what we need are the exact words that God spoke. So please, enter your hand.
Hallelujah.
Please, we'll need an interpretation for that so that we can break it into...
Mama was talking about a deliverance. She said that she slept. While she slept, she saw in the spirit that in a church there was a bush that was grown, but she laid in. And in the midst of what she was seeing, she saw something like a dove. And in the church, apostle was standing. So something was coming out of his mouth as though spit. Then the thing hit her, and in her spirit, she knew that what was disturbing her was gone.
Now, unfortunately, we don't have an inner voice in this particular setup, but we have a knowing. All right? Now, I just wanted to confirm to us that the voice of God comes to you in the language of your thought. And I know Mama thinks in Tiv language. Eh? I know Mama thinks in Tiv language. And so if God speaks to Mama, she will hear in Tiv language. I think in English language. If God speaks to me, I hear it in English language. If you think in Idoma, the voice of God will come to you in Idoma language. Now, is voice compliant? Is language, lingo, is thought compliant? Do you understand what I'm talking about? Is thought compliant? Any language you think in, that's the language you are going to receive his voice in. Hallelujah. Now, I still want tell you didn't carry out my instructions. I didn't say she should testify about deliverance. There are so many testimonies here that we have not allowed people. What I'm teaching, and I'm asking you to find out from her. Was there any time in her life she heard the voice of God? What did God say? Anytime. What did Ondo say? Very
tell her not that she's not. Silo Kichochi. Ilu Kichochi na ha.
Let her not tell story of
church. Na balu Kichochi na ha ya. Angaha na alu dance yo. Na you umbula bidava. You see here Kichochi here na mnaga iha here na na. Simba wange basi ha he. Na yela angaha. Mailu balance angaha. Ele chise sanga ha ele se chise sanga ha ya onde la mamole ya dava ilumeli ha kwala gweka ola ha chondo ya gbenda 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 na ha kai wa wa ma kwa nyongo be.
Hallelujah. Now she has said it.
Okay.
She said that she was in a church. So she heard a voice within. That her sickness is over.
So, say it in Tiv the way she said it. How did what did what were the words exactly?
The word came that her sickness is over. It has finished.
It didn't come in English now.
Okay, kwanyon wo be, wawa kwanyon wo be.
So that's what she heard, because that's the language of what her thought. When the anointing comes upon your mind, it makes your mind life.
And then the voice of God, the emphasis of God, precipitates out of your thoughts and it stands out. Even if you want to avoid it, it's not possible. Thank you. Thank you. That voice might contradict your philosophy. That voice might not be consistent with your expectation. That voice, hallelujah. That's how it is, the voice of God. The Bible says in the morning he heard, rise, Peter, kill, and eat. These two we have mentioned are the easy ones. Alright? These are the difficult ones. You want to say something? Alright. Now, where is that microphone? It's becoming more exciting.
When I was coming, I thought I was too late, so I wanted to take a bike. So I was with my daughter, so we stopped one bike. I look at the man. My spirit said, no, don't climb this bike. Okay. So I asked him, how much? He said, 100 naira from that place to here. I said, no, I just make, then I pass. My daughter said, how much do you think you will carry from here? I said, no, even from that place to my office, I used to take back 100 naira, and this place is short distance. So I didn't even say, the boy said, how do I want to pay? I said, then I told her, my spirit doesn't allow me to climb that back.
Okay.
So I don't want it. Let you go.
That's a knowing. There are many times like that you're about to travel, and you come to the park, and suddenly, you just begin to feel like there'll be an accident. Don't take the risk. It's when you become strong in those things that you become a strong spiritual man. Strong in those signals. And you respond and coordinate with those signals. That's a spiritual man. That's the man that understands the spirit of reality. That's the man that understands how to translate reality to become, for the impute of reality to become part of your daily life. That's a strong man. You get it? Now, see, the other ones we are going to talk about now, which we'll talk about maybe in the next few minutes, and then we'll leave, and then maybe continue in the evening. These ones are more complex. A sign. When you go to the book of Isaiah chapter 8, you will see a sign there. The prophet went to the king and asked him, ask the Lord for a sign. Many times you find that in scripture. What exactly is a sign? A sign is very difficult to interpret. And so you need some knowledge about it. And I need to introduce it today because it's happening in your life. But many people cannot take advantage of that impute of the spirit of truth. He seeks to bring us into a reality. And these are his modalities to bring us into reality. He can come and administer a knowing. He can come and an inner voice finds expression. Whenever I'm studying the Bible, those are my greatest times of experiences with God. Especially when I arrive at a bottleneck, I cannot advance. Experience has taught me to stop there. Then I begin to meditate on it. I begin to meditate on it. I begin to pray in tongues on that scripture. Meditate, pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. I keep doing that until the scripture cracks. When it cracks, God now brings a knowing sometimes. When it cracks, the inner voice goes to work. And then he explains in a short sentence. That short sentence gives me an opening, an insight into the reality that is being captured in that scripture. Now, so these are the ways to actually interact with reality and to respond from reality. You understand what I'm talking about? Now, see, we are going higher. A sign, number three. A sign is a non-verbal communication that points to something. A non-verbal communication that points to something. It is a code which points to something else other than itself. Its true meaning can only be deciphered by the person the sign was addressed to. It is a code which points to something other than itself. And its true meaning can only be deciphered by the person the sign was addressed to. It can be spiritual or physical. The decoding of this requires some form of training in the spirit. A sign. You see, I found that in my own personal experience that in administering the gift of healing, the administration of the gift of healing is accompanied with diverse signs. There are some signs that God gives to show you that an anointing is operational in your life at a particular time. Notice that a sign can be spiritual or physical. The sign can actually appear on your body. And suddenly, your left leg begins to pain you. And then you notice it for 5 years. When you begin to preach, when you are preaching, you notice that the left leg. And then suddenly God now tells you, begins to educate you because you don't know the meaning. Educates you that actually what it means is that there's somebody in the congregation you are preaching to that has a problem with the left leg, and God came with this sign to show you that the anointing to heal the leg is operational. But you see, until you are trained by God, you may not know how to respond when a sign comes. That's a sign. There are several signs that find expression. Yesterday I went home and somebody called me from Scotland. He said that somebody gave him my message and he listened to it. And him and his wife wanted to come under my pastoring and covering. I said, how can I pastor you in Nigeria and you are in Scotland? He said, he wants to come and see me in person in August. I said, all right. If you come to Lagos, we'll come to Benue together. But are there no pastors in London? He said, I heard your sermon. I said, okay. You are welcome. What's your problem? He said, number one, when he prays, he feels something as if it's revolving around his head. That's a sign. He didn't say when he went to the beer parlor, the thing revolves. What does he do? He prays and then what? See, that sign needs to be deciphered. That sign must be known. We must understand what it means. And so you cannot just conclude that when such a revolution happens to Joshua, it means this. So it means the same thing to me. No. It can mean the same thing if the Holy Spirit gives you that understanding. But you see, a sign can only be decoded by the person it's addressed to. Samson cannot receive a sign and then this guy deciphers it that this is what it means. No. That's not how it works. But you need some training in the spirit and the meaning of a sign. In administering heavy anointings, there are signs that God gives that is expecting you to cooperate with so that the anointing can produce a profit. But in a situation where you cannot coordinate with God because you don't know the meaning of the sign, we have a problem. And so I had the healing anointing operating in my life for 5 years. It took me 5 years to be able to decipher what the sign meant. And because I did not know what it meant for 5 years, God healed sometimes still through me, but I did not know he wanted to heal. I could not cooperate with him. I could not participate with him to do what he wanted to do. A sign points to something. So that sign in my own life is pointing to the healing anointing. So the sign is not pointing to the sign, but the sign is creating an awareness that something is happening, something is in operation, something
There's danger somewhere, and you receive a sign. When you notice that in your room, you woke up to go, you forgot your office key. You went there. You woke up again to come out of the house, you forgot your car key. Then you now see, calm down. There's an angel that is actually distracting you because there's danger on the way. The angel wants you to waste small time, so just sit down. And then sit down small. When you sit small, you can now go with your key and he will allow you. So when you notice that, yes, you are going to be late to the office, we understand that. But you see, only living men get to the office. It's a sign. When demonic reality wants to visit a particular family, there are signs. People said it, people that have existed in places where demonic patterns have found expression, they know that when a house gets burnt, say, you are denying me. You know what I'm talking about. That when somebody's house gets burnt, it's a signal that the storm is about to come. And so when a brother here ran to me and said, his house got burned, I said, your house got burned. You need 30 days. You are fasting for 30 days. And I fasted. If I say fast, we'll fast together. And after 30 days, we change the hand of the clock. Those are negative signs. Those are signs that are indicative of negative things that are about to happen. Somebody used to see, there's a man like that, he used to see a dog. The dog used to come and bite him for many years. Then, a particular year like that, he now saw the dog physically, and the dog physically beat him. And then he now died. A few weeks later. Now, this man was seeing this sign. Seeing it for 12 years, for God's sake. He didn't do anything about it until the sign happened. Then, when he was dying, he was saying, Kai, and I saw it, what is the use of seeing it when you could not coordinate with it? And people believe that just because you are born again and you are not stealing anybody's money, you didn't touch anybody's wife, that all will be well with you. It's not true. Because the devil doesn't play according to the rules. Yes. He plays dirty. He rigs election. And he's not fair. So there are signs. I moved into one house, and when we moved there, somebody saw a frog in the sitting room. So he wanted to take broom to kill the frog. The frog now jumped and it disappeared. when it went up and landed, they didn't see frog again. Now, when you see those kind of signs, it shows you that in the neighborhood, there's a witch that is welcoming you, she's aware that you are fasting. So what you do is, you rise. Because that is a sign. That's a demonic sign. So if the devil in his operation gives demonic signs, there are some signs that will be given that you know that somebody is about to die. Because it has happened again and again and again, so you can even interpret it. Those are demonic signs. If the devil gives demonic signs, he copied it from somewhere. God, that's the way God operates. There are several times he doesn't speak with voices. Several times he doesn't give you a knowing. He gives you signs. And especially when he intends you to administer a deposit that he has placed upon your life. On your life. People say, I'm not growing in the anointing. You are not paying attention to the signs. If you pay attention to the signs, you will see manifestations that you have never known before. And in that school, the school of science, you don't graduate. Because I'm still learning afresh. In the school of science, you never graduate. Never graduate. But when we become strong in these things, we become spiritual men. And we'll see the impute of God in our daily life. Did you get it? Sign. Now let me give you some applications of science as I try to round up. is Kenneth Hagin that said this, in the administration of the gift of healing, the Holy Spirit normally gives a sign indicating that the anointing is in operation. And he said his own sign was that this thumb begins to feel lifeless. When he begins to feel that this thumb is lifeless, he knows that the healing anointing is in operation. Now, is there anybody here used to experience those kind of signs, strange signs? Yes. Who took the microphone away?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The signs I experience, there are many. There are times where if I'm ministering in a meeting and the power of God is going to move there, it looks as if something is poured on me. Like sometimes I'm even physically.
You feel it. Yeah. That's a sign.
Then other times I feel.
Okay. I hope you know that that sign you felt is an indication that that anointing is in operation. Anointings leave behind great signs on you. There are some kind of anointings now you can't carry it. Because you'll be trained elaborately to be able to carry it. Notice that Jesus said they could not bear the things he wanted to say. Because those things were realities. There are some realities you can't carry. And God will have to construct your heart to be able to carry the vastness and the depth of those realities. So that sometimes when you wear them, when they are placed upon you and you wear them, it transmits. And you sense some signs. That is how God gives you an outlet for you to understand and know the kind of anointing that you are carrying. Through signs. So you know that one when it comes like that. Alright? And then the power of God begins to manifest. Because God wants us to participate with Him in dispensing the dividends of reality. Now, so the guys receiving the miracles and receiving signs. But you, that God is using to bring the miracles, you are in touch with reality. You get it? So, in true reality, you can know the ways of God. But the guys you are ministering to know the acts of God. You see? You know the ways of God. You know the way the sign transmits. And it's not something you can disciple people into. Because it is reality. Except they come to that place that you are in the spirit, where they have stature and capacity to receive what you have received, they will never have the experience you have had. So, when I noticed that, that was when I had to reconfigure my style of teaching to make it experiential so that people can relate with it and people can now enter into reality. You get it? I had to reconfigure it. Yes, go on.
Then other times, maybe in a meeting like this, I may see a person that is not a part of the meeting, but most times is dressed like one person. Just seeing if maybe I'm facing this, I don't see a person standing, and if I turn, I don't see the person.
Okay.
And most times, when angels touch people like that.
Science. When some angels come into the hall and they know you don't know that they are there, they come to you and then they touch you. And then they touch you again. Because when they touch you like that, God must have taught you that this is time to do certain things. So the world of science is endless. It's endless. Spiritual beings come with spiritual science. The angelic is full of science. In connecting and partnering with different levels or spiritual entities and beings, they come with different signs. So you must understand that. Those are the things. Those are what. Yes, any other? Anointings come with signs. If the anointing for impartation comes, God will give a signal. I feel it on this hand. The hand will begin to shake. This hand. When it begins to shake, I know that, yes, the anointing for impartation has come. You cannot say you are an apostle if there's no impartation in your ministry. You say you're an apostle, you cannot receive somebody's prophetic anointing and give him. You can't receive somebody's promotion, give him. You can't receive the substance of that promotion and say, take. Go. Go in this your mind. Take it. If you can, if there's no impartation in your ministry, you are not an apostle. People will come close to you and receive what you have. An apostle is multi-gifted and he has the technology of releasing that which he has so that people start becoming like you. Because of impartation, not because of cloning. Do you understand it? Spiritual. The more you stare yourself, you begin to see those dimensions. Yes, anybody you used to receive signs, yes, give an evangelist Chris. As we try to round them. Spiritual signs are significant. Spiritual signs are indications that you have something with God. There's something you have with God. Just like Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but such as I have with God, I give you. A spiritual sign shows that you have something together with God. And so if God wants to administer that thing, he brings you into the administration by giving you spiritual sign. Yep.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
One of the signs that I have many of them.
I know.
One of the signs that is very paramount in my life is that if I enter in a service, in a church, any church, and the power of God is going to move in that service, I know.
That's a knowing. It's not a sign, it's a knowing.
It's a knowing.
Yes.
No, but sometimes I will feel it.
That one is a sign.
I will feel it upon my head as if fire is burning.
So, even if you are ministering and you begin to feel that,
yes,
you know that God is going to move.
Come.
Those are signs.
Yes.
The knowing is inward. The sign most times is outward.
Yes.
But there are times when my hand doesn't shake. That this finger doesn't shake. He gives me an inward sign. Then I feel like they put two bags of cement on my chest. When I feel like that, I know it's the weight of the glory that I am carrying. Do you understand? When we talk glory, it's in weight and measure. Doxa actually talks about weight. Do you understand? Weight and measure. In the description of glory, weight is always the adjective that is used to describe it. And so, there are times like that you can feel the weight of the glory. So, I feel as if I have two cement bags on the chest. It's just an indicative of the glory. And with that sign, I can begin to minister. Even if I don't have that vibration. But there are times that two of them are present. This one is here, and that one is here. It means that the number of angels are many, are very many. It took me many years in the school of the Spirit to understand this. And if you are not in my class in the school of the Spirit, these things I'm saying might not be relevant to you. God might have to give you different set of signs. So my signs are not the Bible. My signs are my signs. And except God gives you your own signs, you can't make do on mine. Because the sign can only be decoded by the personality it is what addressed. Yes, go on.
And another sign is that if I want to know somebody that is a spiritual somebody,
yes,
as I shake my hand with you, as you begin to speak, your voice will begin to vibrate
on your hand.
In my hand.
That's a sign.
So once I shake you and you will begin to speak, I know that you are.
That's a sign. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's a sign. That's one of the ways I make friends.
Another one, if somebody is sick in the hall.
Okay.
The same place that he's sick, I'll begin to feel it.
Yes, that's a sign.
Inside of me.
And I need to add that type of sign is particularly associated with evangelists. I don't want to go too far so that we can capture it. Because in the prophetic office, there are signs of the prophetic.
Yes.
But I don't want to go there. I want all of us to see ourselves as believers. In the evangelical, there are signs.
Yes.
In the apostolic, there are signs. The apostle is stronger with knowings inside. knowings. If everything doesn't work, your knowing must keep working. But I don't want to touch that. The prophet, he has his own. The evangelist, his own science. Basically, or most of the time, they manifest as means by which he will administer the healing anointing. So most evangelists have signs like that. Hallelujah. We also have teachers. We have pastors. There are signs that are attached to offices. We must know these things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are sometimes the apostle is very prophetic. There are sometimes he's not very prophetic. But whether or not he is very prophetic, there's this knowing. And the knowing just... It's very difficult for you to deceive him, because his calling and his anointing is weaved around wisdom. If a true apostle gives you counsel, it's like Ahithophel. He didn't hear God though. He just said, see. Because his office is weaved around wisdom. Paul called himself a wise master builder. Do you understand it? Even in the preaching of an apostle's message, he is weaved with so much wisdom. Because it's an office that sits on the spirit of wisdom. Do you understand that? So because of this emphasis, the signs are different. Are you with me now? And then you must understand that the intercession that apostles do is different from other ones. The intercessory lines are territorial and governing. But I don't want to... Okay, it's not part of the lesson, okay? Finally, we have a symbol. When God really, really gets ready to talk, he doesn't speak with voices. He uses pictures. I know you must have gone to the book of Revelation. You see all those pictures that... So, if God really gets set to talk, he uses pictures. He uses pictures. When God began to teach me about visions... I know, based on the school I attended with the Holy Ghost, that if I see two pairs of sandals in my own vision, I'm not... Oh, okay, let me calm down. You know, in the West, people have prayer books. Alright? They have prayer books that they are selling everywhere. That when you... See, let me tell you. The visions I see and the Holy Spirit interprets to me and it schools me to know that if I see this kind of thing, it means this. It's not universal. It's just with respect to me. If I go and print a book and I say, when you see sandals, it means there's a journey. When you see pink, it means that's occultism. Because you are trying to impose upon people your own spiritual experience. And God might decide not to lead them the way he led you. So if you want to force them to adopt your own code, what you have done is that you have brought the people into witchcraft. Understand that? When I see sandals, it means there's a journey. Over the years, through experience, I've known that. See, in order for God to make us know his ways, he keeps some things static. So that you can know certain things by experience. If God begins to deal with you in a certain way, he will not change. He will not change. If the first time you were given an oversized suit, you tried to slim it to become your size, the tailor put iron on it and forgot and you got burnt. The second time you were given an oversized suit, you went, took, the tailor sewed well, but when you say, okay, I want to dry clean, when you took it to a dry cleaner, they poured chemical, and the white became yellow, and then this side became tony red. The pattern is consistent. God is saying that for you, when you receive something that is oversized, give it up. And he won't change that pattern so that you can know the way he wants to what? Deal with you. But if Levi now comes forth and says, that's my pattern. Anytime you receive oversized clothes, give it up. Now, meanwhile, the guy, somebody that received an oversized clothes, that's the only clothes he has. He needs to go to a smart tailor and be praying in tongues while the tailor navigates this thing. Because that trouser, I see it now. So the church entered into a quagmire when those days teachers brought their personal experiences and made it doctrines and monuments. We died and were built into the past instead of being built into the future. And the Holy Spirit is living. It's not dead. You can look at a congregation and see death, literally furnished. It's because of the kind of exposure the people get to get. I understand in the world of vision, God will begin to educate you about what your visions mean. Several times, they are self-explanatory. As you are receiving it, you are getting the interpretation. As you are receiving it, you are getting the interpretation. But that interpretation is only true between you and the spirit of reality. It is not something you can isolate from the realm of reality and write a textbook about. Let me stop here for now. But you see, there's so much we have to say about visions, about symbols, so much. Because many people today are being misguided by visions. I would have loved us to sit down and talk about visions for 2 hours. Visions. What to do with visions. And visions can come in twofold. Night vision, dream, or open vision. You are just sitting down and it comes to you. Critical things are communicated using this mode. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Was he trying to establish the ground as to how the Spirit of Truth operates and his ministry, so that we can, through his ministry, access the unspoken words of Jesus? God will help us in the name of Jesus Christ. I didn't hear your amen.
Amen.
And that's what it means to be a spiritual man. Stand the testimony of the Spirit of Truth. To know how to coordinate with the Spirit of Truth. To know what his signs mean. To know how to keep pace with him. And then you will see that actually God made so much provisions for the spiritual life that it's easier for you to live the spiritual life than for you to live the carnal life. Carnality is hard. But because of the resources that God has made available, spirituality is easier. Hallelujah. There's grace. There are signs. There are transmissions. There are signals that God gives in order to keep you steady within the trap. And it's easy. Amen. Have you ever realized, maybe you had a strong prayer life and you were basking and then you lost that prayer life and you tried to regain it again? Have you seen how hard it is? That's what happens when the Spirit of Truth that quickens, when the Spirit of Truth as the resurrection and the life is withdrawn, you begin to see that life is actually hard without its input. Everything becomes hard without his support. That's when you understand what supernatural means. If you are flowing in it like that, you think that's how you are. You not understand that the super of God has been weaved into your natural by the Spirit of Truth. It's when you lose it most times that you actually know that what you were experiencing was supernatural. But I pray that you will not lose anything before you realize its importance. Hallelujah.
Marakabesute tete baba.
Jehovah 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 Ije Ube Jehovah Ije Ube Jehovah
Thank you, Lord.